listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
The Honeybee's exile is almost complete. You can carry them from hive to hive, the child thought. And that is what he tried, walking with them, thronging between his pressed palms. Let him be right. Let the gods look away, as always. Let this boy, who carries the entire actual worrying world in his calm, unwashed hands, barely walking, bear us all there, buzzing, unstung. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
We're in the house on a Saturday, ready to do some feedback. Feedback show is the one show a week where we take the time out to talk about all the things that you said, about what we said, and it's like a whole thing. It's a whole to do, but we really enjoy it.
We do.
And we appreciate everybody takes time out to leave feedback, whether they leave comments on the website, theblackguywhotips.com. Just pick an episode, leave a comment. It's that easy. You can vote in polls. We have polls for each episode. You can do stuff like leave us voicemail, 704-557-0186. I don't think we got any this week, because I think this one from Saturday we already played. Let me see.
From Brooklyn.
Did somebody call us from Brooklyn last week? You remember?
I don't remember.
I'm working my way backwards with all of the episodes because I was on a cruise from the 19th to the 25th.
You remember this? I don't remember this.
I don't remember that either.
Let's assume we didn't play this.
All right.
We'll wait and play that later.
Right, if you already heard it, you get it two times.
Right. So we got one voicemail. We also got emails, theblackguywhotips@gmail.com. You can do all that stuff there. We appreciate people to take time out to do that. The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
The unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. And we also have to shout out the people who donated to the show.
Yes.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song's for you.
Today's a new day. Shout out to Harold W. with the recurring donation. Thank you, Harold.
Yes.
Felicity F., we appreciate you.
Hope you and Oliver are doing good with saving the city.
Derek W., we appreciate you.
Mm-hmm.
Grace N. is a brand new recurring donator. Please go to the new members class.
Yes, baby.
We got a one-time donation from Melissa W. Thank you, Melissa.
Mm-hmm.
Noel W., also recurring donator.
Hey, baby.
B. Coleman, recurring donator. Linwood C. as well.
Mm-hmm.
Floyd L. Thank you, Floyd. We appreciate you. Kibi R. Thank you, Kibi.
Mm-hmm.
Who else we got? I got a one-time donation from Kimberly W. Thank you very much, Kimberly. Another one-time donation. Damn, a lot of W's this week and a lot of one-time donations. Naisha W., who says, keep up the good works. We shall.
Yes.
Proceed to continue to rock the mic. Okay. Shout out to the Roots. And now the emails don't load. Okay. Melanike I, thank you very much for your recurring donation.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Cedric W., Cedric the Entertainer, thank you very much. By the way, Cedric the Entertainer is in the new comedy, The Last OG, in case y'all are interested in watching that.
Mm-hmm.
Marcus E., thank you very much, Marcus. We got a one-time donation from Westburn M., who says, long-time listener, wanted to make sure I put a little something in the collection plate. Y'all get me through the work day. Three black fist power emojis, Wes. Thank you, Wes.
Thank you.
Deidre H., thank you very much, Deidre. Gerard L., appreciate you, Gerard. Let's see who else came through for us. Calvin N., I hope that everything's going fine at the McDonald's.
Me too.
You should be owning it by now. You've been there long enough.
I know you should have, you know, 4, 5, 6 franchises by now.
I know you was in the management program back in 88, so.
Yeah, she was.
Terry W., thank you very much, Terry.
Mm-hmm.
Jason F., thank you, Jason. Tyrone M., call him. Thank you very much, Tyrone.
Yes, call him.
Courtney, thank you very much, Courtney.
Hey, baby.
Bambi H., thank you very much, Bambi.
I love that name.
Mm-hmm. And That might be it. There's one that just doesn't want to load. I don't know what we're gonna do about this. I'm just gonna let it sit for a while. But thank you very much, everybody that donated to the show. We appreciate y'all.
Yes,
and
we do.
Couldn't do it without y'all. All right, let's get to the 5-star reviews. We got two of them, one in iTunes and one in Stitcher. Episode 1651, Snoop's gospel album. Joy Rich Boway says, hey, praise God every day.
Yes!
5 stars. Thank you very much. Maybe that's what it's gonna be about. It's gonna be the chronic, but with gospel in it. We got a 5-star review on Stitcher from Uzo M, who says, 5 stars, my absolute favorite podcast network. Well, Rod and Karen, you schemed, you plotted, and you clack, you trapped me. Here are these 5 stars. Are you happy now?
Yes.
But you left out the damn. But seriously, this is my favorite podcast/podcast network, and just general thing I listen to anywhere. Consistent, funny, thoughtful. TBGWT is high quality listening, and I encourage anyone who loves podcasts to give it a listen. You'll be glad you did. Thanks, Uzo.
And yes, I am happy now.
Mm-hmm. How can we turn down that 5-star review? Damn, that's like we don't have no heart. Rest in peace, Tommy. Alright, so we had episode 1649, Financial Paid. It was a feedback episode. We only had no comments, but we had a poll. Do you think anyone would go to jail in the Howard financial aid scandal? Yes or no? Karen shaking her head no over there.
No.
60% of the audience agrees with you to say no one's going to jail. 40% think somebody is going to jail though. Do people deserve, Miss CT says, do people deserve to be fired for the HU scandal? Sure do. Will the university actually hold the people accountable? Probably won't. I think if Black Twitter CSI did a little fact finding, they find more information about the incidents and be able to hold the university accountable. But without external pressure, I don't see it happening. I hope they do, though. Thanks, Ryan and Karen.
Agreed.
Yeah. I don't know why that... Yeah. I don't know what they're going to do, honestly.
Agreed, because like I said before, the problem is that... So, the students who got scammed out of money, the students who got sent home, the students who lost housing, and, you know, all this other shit that's just gone now, and you can't get it back, you can't recuperate it. The kids who couldn't graduate because of this, it's just like, well, fuck y'all.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, 1650 Magical Negro was the episode. We had 3 comments. Peachy Yinka says, shout out to Rod for the Afrobeat selection played under those lovely reviews. Correct guy. Thank you.
Thank you.
YE F, so yay F, I guess, says, I had to slide back to my phone when y'all announced Black Twitter CSI confirmed who bit Beyonce. Too funny. The music always gets me excited. Thank you.
Thank you.
Really Dark Knight says, dear Ryan and Karen, about Stacey Dash, there is one reason that she dropped out. She wanted to get her grift on like all the other Republicans, and I'm sure not one of them came to her rescue. She announced and nobody gave her money. Think about it. She put on her straw hat, white gloves, and tap shoes, did the soft shoe for these people on Fox News, and when it was time to make some real money, they left her dumb ass out to dry.
Right.
Do you think she learned anything? Hell nah, cause she's stupid.
Correct.
Yeah, well, she is a clueless actress. Do you think people would boycott the Magical Negro TV show that I proposed making? Yes or no?
I won't boycott it, but I can see people boycott it off of the name alone.
70% of people said yes, they would boycott my show.
Oh, I'm not boycott.
I'm not saying they would, but people would boycott my show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, mm-hmm. People would.
Mm-hmm. And 30% say no. They would get it and they would give me a chance to do it. I hope so. I feel like cancel Magical Negro would be trending. Then we had,
yes, he would.
We had an episode called Saving Your Energy, episode 1651. We talked about a bunch of stuff. Talked about our standards here as a news organization.
How we not sheep.
Mm-hmm. And you know, gotta be aware of fake news, guys.
Gotta stay on your tippy toes.
Fire says, happy birthday to Queen Karen, Team Aries.
Thank you.
Your egg puns were hot like Steph Curry in the fourth quarter. God bless.
Thank you.
P.S. Rod, You're one lucky man. Continued success and health to you both. Fireworks.
Thank you, baby.
Oh, I know. I mean, you look. I make it look easy though. Okay, it look like luck to y'all, but that's just because when you practice so good, you know, it looks like it's easy. Mad Sandy says, "Walk it in my pocket is flames." Ooh, mama. Yep, I agree. Sir Babylon says, "Your conversation about letting go and moving on hit me right where I live. I'm in a phase in life where I'm realizing and enacting the things you said. But sometimes we all forget. And this morning as I was listening to this episode, I forgotten. Thank you both. I love you guys for real. Thank you."
Oh, thank you, baby.
Falcons Diva says, "The audio of those Sinclair statements mixed was scary. Another reminder that this is scary administration. Great show as always."
Come on.
And it's like Blooper WS says, "Hey Rod and Karen, the article about not reacting to everything speaks to me for the opposite reason. I don't react enough to moments when I should, because my non-confrontational ass just tends to shut down and I try to get over it on my own. Needless to say, this hasn't worked out. Mm-hmm. I thought I'd be sparing feelings by shutting up, but this only harbors resentment. Who yep. knew? I agree with Karen about family being the ones that hurt you the most. A lot of gaslighting went on when I recently took my cousin's advice to stand up for myself, and I applied it to her. Realized what she really meant was that I should stand up to everyone but her.
Come on.
She's since been manipulating me into talking to her, withholding my stuff for starters. Damn. Without acknowledging what she did." Ugh, I hate people like that. I talk to me about where we went wrong, because I hate when people just try to hit the reset button. Like I don't remember what the fuck happened. It's like, no, nigga, you were acting weird. What happened? Let's not have that happen again. You know? Anyway, just had to accept that we fundamentally can't be cool, and that I can wish for well from afar. Hey, I had to do that with a lot of people, dog. Where I'm just like, you know what, man? I say it all the time. It's been a while since I said it on the show. I had to learn to love people differently, man. Step back. Be like, look, our relationship ain't one of those relationships where we can kick it and go out and talk and just, you're not that kind of person. Some people are that kind of person, and they can be in my life, and we talk about things, and if it gets personal, that's cool, because we on that level. And some people, it's like, nigga, you just like an associate or some shit. You can't, like, I don't wish you any problems. You know, right. I'm never gonna like intervene or interfere in your life. Like, I hope everything works out, all the mm-hmm. shit you want, I hope you get it, but right. you know, we don't vibe, you know. Difficult to balance between not reacting and cutting people off. Discretion is hard, yo. Now, I agree.
Yeah. It is. It's a fine line. And yeah, I do understand what you're saying about stepping up and being bold and telling people the truth about how you feel. Because the thing is, particularly if people put like this, if people already, I personally think that a lot of people think that soft-spoken people who would try anything to avoid confrontation, a lot of people, some consciously and subconsciously, automatically think they're weak people. You know, because society has taught people you got to cuss people out, let people know how you feel, just be a nasty ass person, and you the quote unquote real G, when honestly nobody wants to fuck with that person. Why? You know, they can't keep friends and shit like that, but that's quote unquote what everybody want to aspire to. But honestly, the average person wants to be liked, and that's most people. And I think that once somebody that's quiet and keeps to themselves and shit starts picking out, people don't know how to handle you. And a lot of times people try to test you, because I've been through this, people try to test you to see if you meant what you said and you said what you said. And sometimes it's very hard to stand by what you said and be like, no, I said no and I meant no, or no, I said such and I meant such. And sometimes you got to look people in their face, like they look you in your face, and say, you got to deal with this. And nobody likes to be told that you got to fucking deal with the decision that I've made.
Yeah, I think also, like, because of how we picture, or how it's normally portrayed, that standing up for yourself or confronting somebody, it's almost always seen as an argumentative, like, belligerent process. Like, today I'm gonna like fight this person. And sometimes it is because the person is coming at you.
Correct.
But sometimes, like, standing up for yourself doesn't always have to be a fight. And I think if people knew that, I think it would be less of a problem. I mean, right. Some people make it a fight no matter what, but
yes, they
sometimes
do.
You know, it's just like, nah, I'm not doing this. Like, hey, you want to do blank? Actually, man, I'd like to go to this place instead. You know, it's, and it doesn't turn out to be the nightmare in your head. I know I do that a lot, where I, in my mind, I create these nightmare scenarios of like, what's going to happen, the worst case scenario. Well, I'm going to tell them no, and then they're going to get mad, and then they're not, you know, I do that to myself, and you know, I try not to psych myself out like that anymore, because I'm just like, look, if they're not an adult and they can't understand that I can't make it to whatever they want me to make it to, but at the same time, they still really my friend, and I just didn't even have the funds, the time, or the resources right now. If they can't understand that, then they can't fuck with me, you know, like right. That kind of thing, where it's like, it doesn't always have to be a problem, but sometimes people just make it that way. And that's the big fear I think a lot of us have, is like, I'll just go along to get along because I don't want to have that problem. But you know, one of the things I've practiced is like, if I'm talking about you, it's all stuff that I would feel comfortable saying in your face, you know. And I think when people hear that, to some extent they might feel like, oh, so that means you're angry at me, or you don't like me. No, it's like, no, nigga, this is how I have relationships. This is how my parents talk to me. It's how I talk to my brother. It's how I talk to my friends. Like, it doesn't have to be an angry thing. If you listen to, Balls Deep Sports and Pregame, you hear me and Justin do it all the time, where I'm just like, well, why would you say that? Well, I disagree with that. You know, and, but it doesn't become a fight, cause we should be able to be adults that disagree and hang out later, and they're still friends. But I don't know, I feel like I don't know if we're losing that, I'm just becoming more aware of how other people view that shit.
It's a little bit of both, because friendships, in my opinion, and the definition of friendships has changed over the years, and I just realized I've come to the conclusion my definition of friendship is not the same as a lot of people. A lot of people have associates that they call friends. Y'all are not friends, y'all just associates.
Even family like that though.
Right.
Like, a lot of times people say family, and I'm like, yo, not all family is family. Like,
no, they not.
If you can't speak your mind to your family, are you really my family? You know what I mean? Like, it's just wild like that. So, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah, and also I think for me too, because like I said, I'm overall an easygoing person. So, you know, it's hard for people to understand people that are quiet and people that don't speak out and people that don't say much. A lot of times, some of them, in the reality, those are some of the most dangerous people, and people don't want to admit that. Because when somebody like that speaks out, they're speaking out on, when that person actually decides to say something, particularly if they're angry, they're gonna go back and they're gonna go way back. We ain't gonna be talking about what you did right now. We're gonna be talking about all the other shit you did to lead up to this moment. You know, and that's not a good place to be at, because you end up saying things, you end up regretting, and you end up actually making it a confrontation. But for some people, you have to do that. But the average person, you don't. And a lot of times, I will remove myself from the situation because I'm like, oh, okay, I can't deal with you, because I don't want to get to the point where I'm angry. Because I tell people, no matter how nice I am, no matter how kind I am, no matter how sweet I am, no matter how much I smile in your face, everybody got a nasty side, and people don't want to admit that. Human nature. I just opt not to tap into that, but everybody has a nasty side.
Yep. Great show as always, you too, and Happy New Year, Karen.
Thank you.
I hope it fills you with happiness. Yeah, because your birthday, it's your new year.
Thank you.
And then the poll was April Fool's porn. Yay or nay? Nay. 75% of y'all say no. So 25% of y'all okay with it. Jared says, while I am for this idea, I can only imagine all the super problematic things the porn industry would do with it. That's true. But I mean, it's porn, so it's already problematic.
I know, right? I love it.
Like, I mean, I'm sure there's a bunch of ethical porn out there and shit, but come on. Y'all know what it is.
I know. Who's watching porn to be ethical?
Right. I'm sure that's somebody's kink, but in general, it's not going to meet all your requirements.
Mm-hmm. And I've seen some of it, and it's decent, but truth be told, it don't be, you know, number one ranking the most viewed.
Yeah, everybody's really looking for that scumbaggery, and we know it.
Come on, that's why they know why you came.
Yeah, whatever. All right, we had episode 1652. We had the guys from Three Guys on the show. We talked about a bunch of stuff. Brooklyn Shoebay says, I have not watched the reboot of Roseanne, but I was excited when I heard it was coming back because I really loved that show when I was in my late teens and 20s. Watching it as a young married, I decided that I wanted to be that type of mom, the one who was honest about the world and wouldn't sugarcoat things about life, open-minded but crass in her delivery. Claire Huxtable, another TV mom around that time, also seemed like a mom role model for me, but she was too polished and calm, things I was not. However, when I found out that Roseanne was a Donald stan, I decided not to watch. What confuses the shit out of me is how Roseanne, the show, and the character somehow became the right-wing family next door. The Connors weren't religious, church-going, or even overly patriotic. Roseanne, the show, was really the first show that tackled gender stereotypes, openly talked about menstruation, family sexual abuse, vegetarianism, and mental illness. The Connors' daughters were on birth control and having premarital sex. Roseanne was a female business owner. Jackie was a single mom. Dan had black and white friends. They talked about acceptance. There were two LGBTQ regular characters. It was the most left show out there. I don't understand the trajectory. Dan on the show would care more about the sports and be pissed off about the politics around football, but Darlene would certainly support taking the knee. Anywho, I've gotten into a rant. Dave Chappelle was right. White people going to white, even fictional white characters. Cokie Negro says, I watched Roseanne a little bit when I was coming up, and I always thought the show was like progressively groundbreaking, but you know, and it was funny, you know, and I have no doubt in my mind that this show is funny. Like, I'm sure the new show is funny too, but it's just about, can people take the racial stereotypes or the jokes or the whatever about, you know, the Trump stuff and laughing at people taking the knee and shit like that. And I think we're at a time in our country where a lot of us that are black have other venues of entertainment that we can support now, and we didn't necessarily have that when Roseanne was coming up. You know, now if you have Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, all these cable channels have TV shows, why should I stop what I'm doing to watch Roseanne when I can just go turn it to, you know, my DVR, or to on demand, or to Netflix or Amazon or something, just watch something that I don't have to worry about you know, pissing me off. So
right, and the thing is, Roseanne has the right to have that show. ABC has the right to allow her to do that. I don't have no problem with the show and the cons. I mean, but I just, I don't have a problem with her having the right to have the show and all that other shit. I think my problem comes in is if you get that show, Blackish y'all shouldn't have been able to do the knee. Not trying to funny. If we're gonna be neutral, let's be neutral across the board. Let's not pick sides on a lot of shit. Like, if we're not gonna pick sides, let's not pick sides on any side then.
Yeah, that's one of the things, you know, I'm consistently talking about just in my life. I don't boycott anything, so it's not even like a political stance of like, I'm gonna boycott this show, I'm gonna show Roseanne, blah blah blah. It's just a very like matter of fact, there's other shit to watch. Mm-hmm. And I'm not hella pressed to watch a Trump supporting family. Mm-mm. I'll be okay without this, you know. I watch Atlanta instead. There's just, I have too much good TV I'm behind on for me to be worried about this show. But I, like I said, I also do understand people kind of mourning the loss of a woman that was a very progressive figure when we were coming up, who, you know, essentially just acts like she's lost her mind.
Correct.
Cokie Negra says, I had to stop the playback to see the Muppets Bone Thugs video. How did I miss this? Yeah, it's all the Muppets singing Crossroads. Pretty cool.
Yes, that one is fucking hilarious. Oh, and one more thing. Yes. One more thing about the Roseanne thing. Also, the thing about the Roseanne thing is that it pisses people off that you can see the blatant racism, not in Roseanne the show, but in Roseanne the person. How she been showing ass on social media, but yet she keeps the job. You let a nigger or a brown person go and be doing and saying and just acting up on social media, the show probably would be canceled by now.
Oh yeah, I mean, look how they did Jemele Hill. You know, like, that's like the unfairness of it all is really what I think bothers a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they have the words to express it, but that's what I think it is. Yep. it's the clear double standard of, you know, a person that was black saying these kind of things on their network. If Kenya Burris was out here saying these type of things, it would have been like, yo, Blackest got canceled or the creator got fired or something, because, you know, you can't be out here tweeting conspiracy theories and deleting it 5 minutes later, you know, stuff like that. But, you know, this is Trump's America now, so I guess it's okay for her. But yeah, like you said, I don't really have a problem with the show, even.
Mm-mm, she can do the show, no problem.
Like when Andy described the joke about take a knee, I actually thought that joke is funny. Like the whole, like, Jackie, you won't take a knee? And I'm like, oh yeah, cause she's a liberal one. I get the joke. Like I'm just more flabbergasted by how people can't see the obvious bias of a station that will say, you know, Roseanne Barr can say what she wants on Twitter. She can have this show that picks fun at the fact that we have a black show and an Asian show on ABC. It can make fun of athletes that take a knee. But you know what? Blackish, you can't talk about it. Even though you have a black show, the taking a knee conversation is one of the biggest conversations, if not the biggest conversation in sports for black people.
Right.
And you're like, we're going to pretend that part of the conversation doesn't exist because we don't feel comfortable with it. That's that bullshit, man. Charles says, I wish Roseanne would retire, but she won't. I agree with Brooklyn Shoebae. The Connors were not right wingers back in the day, but also, like she says, white people going to white. Hashtag white nonsense. Alice writes in, it doesn't matter if you think Chappelle's trans jokes were not that bad or whatever. A bunch of trans people have said it was hurtful. Cis people do not get to decide what is or is not transphobic. Not only do I agree, nobody said the opposite.
Nobody said the opposite.
You know, it's funny with stand up, because I believe this and I will always stand by, but I don't really get to decide what the fuck is funny or not funny for everybody else. I can only tell you what I laughed at, what I thought was funny, what I thought was good. And we're in an era now where motherfuckers judge you for laughing.
Right.
So it's even with that shit, I'm, you know, I normally try not to even share, like, oh yeah, I like this or I like that, because it's not worth it. Mm-mm. The main thing I would say though is we said on the show at the time, and I went on a long tangent about it right after Randolph finished talking, because he brought up one of the jokes. But yeah, you don't get to tell somebody else they have to laugh.
Right.
And the conversation we had on the show was about how I feel as a black man who is, you know, on the liberal side of things, it feels kind of disappointing even that so many of my, like, comedic contemporaries, heroes, whatever you want to call them, people I looked up to, have decided to be like, fuck it, I'm stuck here. Like, I'm a black man and I'm never developing my act or my furthering my thought beyond the very simple shit that I could have said in the 90s and the 2000s. Like, it's 2018. I would love to hear, and I'm not saying they're obligated to, and obviously they the one making the special and they selling out the room and they making all the money, so it's not like I'm like representative of a lot of people. I don't think I'm representative of a lot of people. I think I'm representative of a very small minority of people.
Right.
But the truth of the matter is, I would love to see somebody like a Chappelle lend their voice to inclusiveness and things of this nature, because I think he is a person that can be funny and make that funny.
I agree.
But he decided not to, and that, to me, that is sad that he decided not to, because he is so dope. But that's his right. I don't get to tell him. I either get to watch the special, not watch special, think it's funny, not think it's funny, whatever. But you'll never hear me give any fucking room for being like, he's not transphobic or it's not that bad. You yeah, won't ever hear me say that.
First time we talked about it.
Yeah, we've talked. Now maybe you're new to listening to the show. I think this was your first comment, so maybe it's just you're new. We've talked about this at length on the show. We've had people write in to tell us, you shouldn't say Dave Chappelle is transphobic, or, well, what's so wrong with the jokes? And we broke it down. You know what I mean? And like I said, I do all this not from a perch on high of I'm morally better than you, but just to simply say, like, some things are facts and you have to deal with how you feel about the fact. You know, the fact of the matter is those jokes are transphobic. You know, maybe not the one where you said, the very specific one that Randolph talked about, but nigga, there's 20 minutes of transphobic jokes around that one joke anyway. So it's not, you know, and then he had a whole special before that that had like 20 minutes, maybe five or 10 minutes, but still a whole nother transphobic section. Ricky Gervais has a transphobic section. Marlon Wayans has a transphobic section. I don't know what makes Dave Chappelle able to quote unquote pull it off for more people than Ricky Gervais or Marlon Wayans, but I think all of the jokes are kind of crass and not well thought out, and they feel hacked to me. I can't decide what other people think, but for me, they feel hacked more than anything else. Everyone makes the "you gonna cut your dick off" joke. Everyone makes the fucking like, "it's Caitlyn Jenner and he was Bruce Jenner, I'm gonna misgender him, isn't that funny?" Like, they do this like angry rant on stage because that's the perspective that they have, but it, to me, it's not really funny. But I don't know what to say when a whole room of people is laughing and people walk around calling people the best ever and saying they're brave for basically being transphobic. I don't know what to do with that environment, you know what I mean? The same way I don't know what to do with the environment that, you know, calls white people, men brave for calling, saying racist shit, that call men brave for being misogynistic. Like, that's the bravest state, the thing that has existed on this earth for thousands of years is the bravest stance you can take right now. Fuck out of my face. So no, I don't believe it, you know, at any rate. But all that being said, I don't get to decide if Dave Chappelle gets another special. I don't get to decide how people review his shit. And he has decided that this is the hill he will die on. He's gonna figure a way out to talk about trans people badly, and people are gonna give him a pass. Like I said when we talked to Randolph, at this point, Dave Chappelle can make people laugh about anything.
Right.
And he gets licensed to do 10, 15 minutes straight of no jokes in the middle of his sets. It's like he a comedy guy. He just get to do whatever the fuck you wanna do. So how would he ever know that he's wrong? Because he can always come back and make you laugh about how wrong he is, and then that's what happens. People go, well, it couldn't be that bad, you know. I've heard people who have said he's not transphobic or the jokes aren't transphobic, but they always are from transphobic people. I mean, I think everybody has some transphobia in them, but it's always from people who are very blatantly like that. And I think what bothers me and gets to me the most is how often those voices are black men, like cishet black men that want to be part of this like wave of making sure that we have these attitudes that we know endanger and oppress a huge part of our own community, and yet we won't want, like, and yet we don't understand how we can be a menace at times when we do that kind of shit. The things we say about women, we can be a menace at times when we do that kind of shit, but we don't want to take any responsibility because, hey, I'm a black man and I'm also oppressed. You know, cops see me and shoot me, I can get killed and nobody will care. Like, nobody will stop, blah, blah, blah. Okay, cool. You right. That's wrong. I agree. Something should be done about that, and I'm on your side. But then if that same thing happened to a trans person, you'd be like, yeah, fuck that. I don't have to care. And that shit bothers me. But, you know, anyway, I just want to be on record. It's funny that Andy said people get so uptight these days, they're so scared to laugh, that the second someone even brings up a topic, they start hearing what they want to hear. And this is how this feels, because that's not what happened in that conversation. Mm-mm. You know, like, Dave Chappelle definitely has transphobic jokes, and I don't get to decide how bad they are, and other people can say it's not bad to them, because I also don't get to decide for them, but I think it's bad. I'll just leave it at that. You know, so, but I appreciate you writing in. Jane says, I totally missed the second guest of the race, the mom who tased her son to get him up for Easter church. I didn't realize black mamas had upgraded from leather belts to extension cords to tasers. Ain't technology grand?
Come on.
I know, kids getting their ass whipped with tasers now. That's some wild shit. EVE says, I haven't watched Roseanne's reboot even. Yo, by the way, this is another thing that gets on my nerves, man. It's really difficult to watch, and this is just this intersection I live at, or just this the things I can't help but notice. It's really difficult to watch people talk about how they won't watch the Roseanne reboot and it's not funny, But they were the same motherfuckers that were like up in arms at anyone that had a word to say about Chappelle and his transphobia. Like, I don't understand.
Some of those people, yeah.
How can't you see it's the same fucking thing?
For some of those people, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, how can't you see that the impulse that white people who love Roseanne right now, the same anger they have towards us are like, how these niggers, I'm gonna watch this show, fuck with their, it's funny. So if you can't make jokes unless you agree with them and shit like that. That's the same thing I heard people saying about the Chappelle shit. And Dave Chappelle is a man who quit his job because a white person laughed wrong at the wrong part of his joke. Dave Chappelle's the same dude that had a long ass like rant about, on I think it was Oprah interview or whatever, about how he would never wear a dress as a black male comedian because of how they try to demean black male comedians by putting them in dresses. And so he understands the nuances and the psychological warfare and all this shit when it comes to this stuff. But yet if you bring up this transphobic shit, he completely opts the fuck out. And it's frustrating because I know he can get it and I know he probably does get it, but when it comes to that, it's just jokes. But it's never just really jokes with him, because that dude is a political commentator. That dude is a philosopher at times when he wants to be. People repeat his bits for years because they resonate, like the Clayton Bigsby shit, or you know, or even like, you know, his bit about you know, white people reading in a paper they're killing niggas like flapjacks and shit like that. Like, even some of those jokes. Gentrification, we talked about DC, like maybe he didn't quote unquote mean to be that guy, maybe that's the whole point, but I know he can get it. And he's emblematic of a lot of brothers that can get it. They're sharp. They just don't want to get it when they're on the other side of that equation. When it's not convenient, then fuck it. But I've seen so many niggas opine about like, I won't support Roseanne, it is normalizing Trump voting, and which is normalizing racism, which is normalizing bigotry, and we shouldn't do this, is sanitizing this, da 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 da. And they have all these things to say. And then if I say, well, isn't Chappelle kind of normalizing transphobia, and isn't that like some shit that he can improve on? Man, first of all, if you don't think it's funny, fuck you, don't watch. Okay. Like, I we get stuck here again. So it's frustrating, but as a black man, this is the world I live in. These are my peers. These are my contemporaries. If I was only friends with niggas that was on the shit I was on, I wouldn't have no friends, to be honest. That's how fucked up it is. EVE says, I haven't watched the Roseanne reboot, even though I used to watch the original series and enjoyed it. I won't watch it now because, frankly, Roseanne is a horrible person, and while I try to separate the person from the art, I refuse to support that. The fact that dope 45 called to congratulate her sealed it for me.
Right.
They're trying to normalize this presidency, and I want no part of it. Mm-mm. Roseanne is basically trying to get people to say, even though you voted for this jackass, you're not a horrible person.
Right.
Well, she's just the latest one to do it, and they've been looking for a vehicle to do it, and she has really found a way to capitalize on it so far. I heard the second week ratings were very strong as well.
Yeah, like 20 something million people, and that wasn't even including like the DVR. Like, a lot of people actually watched that shit live.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
That wasn't including the DVR the next day. You know how all those numbers, and they were saying that those numbers were even going to be higher. And they said something like, she captured like a huge percentage of people that was 50 and under.
You know what's funny? It just talks, that's another example of just how small the circles that I live in are, because
mm-hmm.
I don't know anyone is watching that show.
People are watching,
but it's probably the highest rated comedy on TV right now.
It is. It's number one.
All my people watch Atlanta and shit, and I bet you it's not even fucking with Roseanne ratings.
Mm-mm.
That's wild. I have a theory about this show anyway. My guess after the ratings come out for the double premiere was the ratings will eventually dwindle down. Not saying it won't still have a following, but it won't be this big. They've already decided to decline after the second week. Started to decline after the second week, hence the writers begging people to give the show a chance. Nope, fuck Roseanne. Yeah, I don't know. I heard the ratings are strong going into the second week, but maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. That's what I read anyway.
Mm-hmm. That's what I read too.
So I don't know. And it would probably be, they would probably have to fall off quite a ways, you know. And if people are just watching out of spite and the show's not funny, then I understand. But if Randolph and Andy were correct, I mean, you got Norm writing for that shit. You got Wanda writing for that shit. I mean,
you got a lot of very funny
people. The motherfuckers writing are funny. Like, yeah. They gonna find a way to make that form of Roseanne acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, we can't separate people from the art as much anymore because of social media with some folks. Like, to a certain extent, like, some people's social media is so overpowering, you can't even ignore them.
If you wanted to.
Really Dark Knight says, I rock with the 3GO podcast. These cats introduced me to the world's best documentary, American Pimp. So quotable, so good. I'm out here trying to get me a nice, pretty young bitch. And on the topic of Roseanne, I ain't got shit to say, but fuck her. The poll was, will Roseanne retire because of Twitter? Because, you know, she threatened to retire because y'all were too mean to her on social media. Yes, she can't take it. 7%. 93% say no, she just talking shit. Brooklyn Shoe Bay says, Roseanne is a shit talking and attention seeker. She don't know how to keep quiet. Lakita says, I was initially excited to hear Roseanne was coming back because this was my ish growing up. It was super relatable and probably the first time I heard the phrase, the check is in the mail, LOL. But hearing all the recent BS about her hateful tweets and bullshit conspiracy theories, like she tunes in to Alex Jones all day, I found myself loosely quoting Karen when she unforgettably said in one of your movie reviews about Batman vs. Superman, fuck that movie and its mama. So in the
words, I was highly upset.
So in the words of the queen, fuck Roseanne's show and its mama. I feel for those affiliated with that foolishness. Man, as long as the check is in the mail, they'll be all
right. Right.
Evie says Roseanne ain't going nowhere because she said that back in December, and she's still here. She just likes to whine with the rest of her MAGA brother. Yeah, they always be like, I'm the real victim with my millionaire ass. You think that all these, like, flyover state ass, like, I hate limousine, liberal, California, you know, that shit, you think they would be offended at Roseanne's depiction of them while she gets rich to the millions? But nope, anything that's on their side, they fucks with, period.
Correct.
Episode 1653, Popping Bullets, Dripping Blood, was our Walking Dead recap. D. Ramsey, PH Dunn says, I hope Gregory is in this car with Negan. Why did Jadis let Negan live? Well, you can't have Jadis kill Negan. I mean, we know that. And then, yeah, I didn't think about that. Maybe Gregory's the one in the car instead of Paula. But what would Gregory's, I wonder what Gregory, impact of Gregory coming back would be on, would have on the plot. Negan barely seemed to like Gregory in the first place.
Correct.
I think Paula's who's in that car, y'all. But if it's Gregory, I guess so. I mean, I don't know. EVE says, I'm going to add the brother who spit on Jadis to my list of people who need to die by the end of the season. I won't even remember his face, but I hear you. That was just gross. So right now, my list so far is Negan, Simon, Tara, Edith, Rosita, Eugene, Dwight, everyone on Oceanside, and now that spitting dude. All those people can go. And Jesus can go too. We need some real shooters on this squad. Agreed. Jesus don't want no smoke. Will Rosita and Daryl try to kill Eugene or just kidnap him?
I say kill him.
Kidnap, 31%. Talk him out of helping the saviors, 35%. Kill, 35%. I hope they kill him, but I feel like it's gonna be number two. Talk him out of helping the saviors.
Right, and he'll fuck around and die at the hands of somebody else.
Mm-hmm. You know it's gonna be some bullshit. Come on. All right, we had one voicemail. Let me play that.
Hey, Rod and Karen. It's Outstanding calling from Brooklyn. Been working my way backwards with all of the episodes because I was on a cruise from the 19th to the 25th. So anyway, I wasn't able to get wind of this whole Kill a Mike mess. As usual, this dude is just a, I don't even know what to say. And the fact that people don't remember his antics in regard to Marissa and how she dragged him about it is just even crazier to me. But anyway, I just wanted to touch base with you guys and say thanks, and I can't wait to get to the backlog of my episodes to enjoy y'all. So anyway, take care. Bye.
Bye. Thank you. Glad you enjoyed your cruise.
Yeah, glad you enjoyed your cruise, and thank you for listening. Thank you for calling in.
Mm-hmm.
As always, number 704-557-0186. We appreciate everybody that takes time out to do that.
2 minutes or less. We didn't set the limit. Mm-hmm. Skype would be like, Bobby Itch.
Mm-hmm.
Where? Like when you went, like, start, call, like, you got those.
And yeah, Marissa definitely, called him out on Twitter, but I don't know how much of a reach that is considering who Killer Mike is and the platforms that he's on. And that's one of the scary things about all of that shit. Like, so many people that were activists and so many people that like really confronted Bernie Sanders and stuff, and with so much like support behind him by willfully ignorant people, by people that just fled straight up lying in Russia, it's like they drown out the truth. You know, it's funny to see now people picking up on some of his comments from I think 2015, where he talked about most drug dealers, that black people get arrested for selling drugs because black people sell drugs more often. And so, you know, it's just funny watching it come back, because it's just like, it's frustrating. A lot of people have a lot of different opinions when it comes to politics and who they was gonna vote for and all this shit, but I just felt like a lot of people gave him like a pass. They gave him a level of purity he couldn't even pass, and Killer Mike was instrumental in going over there to be the black friend of him. But in the end of the day, I don't think Killer Mike has enough pull. Obviously Bernie Sanders still got his ass kicked by Hillary Clinton in all the measurable ways that ass kicking happens in voting, so it's not like he was actually a real candidate. It's just people hate Hillary Clinton enough to try to act like he was, but he never had a chance, and Trump would have whooped his ass even worse. So
yes, sir.
It just is what it is, you know. But Killer Mike, I still remember that day Marissa like let the gun spray on him on Twitter, and that shit was funny. Ultimately he just ignores people and just pretends it didn't happen. So Not surprised he got used by the NRA, and not surprised that he ran over there to get used, and he'll be back and he'll be fine.
Just fine.
We had a few emails. Gina writes in, hello Queen Karen and Rico. I meant to write this a while ago, but just didn't have the right words. I've been listening to your wonderful podcast now and have recommended it to my friends. Well, thank you. A few episodes ago, you listed signs of an emotionally abusive relationship. I listened as always and then realized I was finishing some of the signs myself, because I apparently and unfortunately am on the receiving end of such treatment. It took a lot to admit it to myself and a therapist, who agreed, by the way, that I'm being emotionally abused. I didn't have the words before, but I do now. Thank you. Thank you for being a bright spot in what has been a rather dark time, and thank you for helping me see that I've been enduring. Thank you for hopefully helping someone else see that all the abuse isn't physical, and that doesn't make it okay, deserved, or hurt any less.
Right.
Just thank y'all. So I enjoy your insights and your thoughtful, hilarious commentary and Karen's 10 for 10 pun game. Sincerely, Gina, loyal listener and subscriber to Black Mama Monthly. Oh,
thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Sometimes like I'll be looking up news articles or something, and then I'll just see something like that, and I'll be like, you know what, let's just talk about this instead, because everyone talks about the news all the time. And our show can kind of be whatever you want it to be. So, you know, I'll read something, it'll resonate with me, or I'll be like, maybe I can spread some information to some people. They'll listen to the show and be like, yo, that, so those are the signs. Or either they dealt with it, maybe they've never dealt with it, or maybe you're in it like you said and you're like, yo, wait a minute, this sounds real familiar. So I'm happy to help.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe this is pronounced Kiana, who says, saving your energy. This episode was everything. This conversation about saving your energy and preserving your peace was everything. I grew up in a family of strong and opinionated women and basically learned how to be a people pleaser and bought her for the love of my family. It was taking a toll on my mental health, and I was having panic attacks and gaining weight like crazy and depressed and borderline suicidal because I wasn't happy. When I turned 23, I decided I wasn't going to keep doing this to myself, and I decided to really work for where this fear was coming from so I could uproot it, even if it wasn't coming from me. It was a fear of abandonment and rejection that was crippling me. I had to have a real come to Jesus talk with myself and learn to wean myself from some folks and how to cut others off altogether. My mantra has become, I don't have to create or maintain a space for anyone to abuse me.
Come on!
It's by no means always been easy, because as a people pleaser, you learn to justify and reason away and turn the blind eye to abuse and foolishness, but I've learned so much about myself that I will and will not accept in my personal relationship. I've had to reconcile myself knowing I may never get an apology.
Come on.
And love folk from the other side of the city. Come on. And I'm good with that. Anywho, conversations like this is one of the many reasons I love y'all. Still trying to figure out how to adopt myself into y'all's family as a little cousin. As soon as I figure it out, it's on. Love you too, for real, for real. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
And yep, I know that. I know that feeling, man.
I 100% agree. Cause like I said, I come from the foundation of people pleasing sorority. Like I am a part of that sorority and fraternity. You know, because men can be like this too, but it's executed differently in men. So I know, because there's a lot of people out there that are people pleasers and they don't realize that they are people pleasers. And a lot of times people that are users can spot you out really, really easily, and it's easy for them to take advantage of you, because those type of people, they will actually sit, listen to you, find out your quirks, find out how you tick, and then they will use all those things against you to manipulate you so that you can, at the end of the day, get done whatever they want done, not really caring nor concerned about you and how you feel, and you know, if you're okay with this or if this is something that you want to do. Some people do it unconsciously, some people purposely do it. It doesn't matter, the end result to you is the same. So because the end result to you is the same, you're affected by it. You have to make a decision. And what I realized is that once I got to the point that I made a decision that this is something that I wasn't going to deal with, because I have to wake up every day and I have to live with the decisions that I made. I have to live with what I am going to do, what I'm not going to do, what I'm going to put up with, what I'm not going to put up with. I am the one that determined my happiness, not somebody else, you know. And that's very hard for a people pleasing person to deal with. And once you start doing the shit that you want to do, it's going to be a problem, because a lot of people are so used to you doing the things that they want to do that you start dealing with people that become jealous of you, because people don't want to see you grow. You know, because sometimes people can see a light and a talent within you that you don't even see within yourself. And so a lot of times once you stop, you know, I'm not going to please you no more, I'm going to do the things that I want to do, it becomes a problem. And what I realized too is that once you step out of that and be like, I'm going to do what I want to do, you have to let people go, because everybody isn't willing to go to the next level with you. And this includes family members. It could be your mama, your daddy, your sister, your brother, your husband, whoever this person is. Sometimes they are not willing to go there with you. Sometimes you can maintain a relationship with them and grow, and sometimes you can't. And if you can't, let it go.
Yeah, that was one of the things I was saying on Twitter. Somebody hit me up and was like, when I said that I'm wary of people that can't keep friends. And I am. I always will be. And she was like, well, sometimes you have to cut people off, they can't come with. And I said, whoa. I'm not talking about you gotta keep friends with everybody. That's weird. I mean, like, everything has a season, right? Like, people fall in and out of life, all this shit. But there's also, like, people that continually just always got a new crop of friends. It's almost like how, you know, it's like they searching for the mark. You know what I mean? Like, you consistently just, everybody your best friend that you just met, because you don't have nobody that goes back. And I feel like that is a sign. If you can't keep any of your friends, look around, man. Maybe it's you. You know, like, that's weird to not be able to keep people in your circle for long, you know? So, but absolutely everybody can't come with you everywhere. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that. You shouldn't feel guilt about that. And some folks are users. Some people, like Karen said, they get jealous. Mm-hmm. There's people that are cool with you at one point in life, but when you start making changes or doing anything different, they all of a sudden they find themselves not as cool with the idea of you as blank. Right. You know? So I one of the last conversations I had with when I still had white friends, actually probably the last conversation, but one of the dudes tried to say some shit about the podcast. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, your little podcast, da da da. And I'm like, well, you seem quite upset about me out of the lane that you thought I should be in. Look, I give my opinion for a living, but we worked hard to do this shit.
Come on.
And at no point am I gonna feel ashamed or embarrassed of what I do for a living. This is the dream I wanted. This is the dream that we wanted. This is the thing we set out to do. You know, since that time, you know, this podcast has taken me more places than I'm sure it's taken, than whatever he does is taking him, you know.
Come on.
You know, but he, you know, I know that person was miserable at work. I know they had like some marriage shit going on, mm-hmm. or whatever. I know they had a bunch of issues, but those ain't my fault. You know what I mean? Like, it was just, he was uncomfortable with me being out of the box he thought I belonged in.
Right.
And so I understand that impetus. And that's why, you know, when we talked about it, it's like, you can't wait for closure on everything. Like, if I was waiting for that dude to come back and admit he was wrong for that shit, I'd die waiting. You know? I can't do that. You know? And I'm not even sure he didn't apologize. At some point he probably did, but you know what? It was too late. I didn't give a fuck. We're cool. We don't talk anymore. I haven't seen that dude one time since then, and that's absolutely fine. But that's the kind of point of, look, man, I'm not here to be abused. I'm not here to be looked down upon or patronized or whatever. Like, if we can't meet and respect each other as equals, let's move on. You know,
right.
Family, friend, whatever the relationship, coworker, whatever relationship is, none of these motherfuckers are pertinent to my existence. If you don't want to hop in and help improve my life, and we mutually like support each other, we have like kind feelings towards each other, then what is the purpose of our relationship?
Come on.
So I just don't stress about that shit. But I absolutely understand where you're coming from, and I'm glad you I'm glad you resonated with what we was talking about.
Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, in my opinion, I just want people to be, and it's very hard, but to be free of the expectation that other people put on their lives, because you only have one life to live and nobody can make that choice but you. And a lot of times, to kind of piggyback on some of the stuff you were saying, sometimes people like you in a certain place because they feel superior to you. And a lot of people don't realize that people feel that way about them until you start doing other shit, like I said, breaking outside of the box, making them feel uncomfortable, making them challenge themselves, and then the things and the ways they really felt about you will shine. So I've learned to love people differently, and like you said, love people from across town.
Yeah. All right, we got a couple more emails. Teresa writes in, "Dear Rod and Karen, first let me say I love your podcast. This episode where you guys talked about letting things go, closure, and things about, oh man, a lot of people like the episode. Things along that line touched me to my core. I've always thought I needed closure in relationships, but have come to realize it's a non-factor. I can't control how someone feels about me. Yo, another reason I'm scared of that, like, closure shit, a lot of times the things that people that dangle that closure shit out there for you, they also use it as a way back in.
Correct.
You know, like, oh, I'm back, and I was so wrong. Like, nigga, the time to say that was a long time ago. Bye. And thinking about it drains my energy, makes me sad, and I'm done feeling that way. Thank you. By listening to this particular podcast, confirm what I was doing is what I need to do, and me putting myself first is okay. You guys give me hope. I can feel the love between you guys, and I love how Rod shows his love for you, Karen. As a woman, it lets me know there are good men out there who knows how to treat a lady. Well, you know, I try to do what I can do, you know what I'm saying?
There really is.
I mean, I can't say it's a lot of men out here that can do it like I'm doing it, but you know, it's good to see people try, you know what I'm saying? I like to give hope to the hopeless, you know what I'm saying?
You got high expectations.
And, you know,
I ain't even gonna lie, the expectations, is pretty high. And like I said, I am spoiled rotten, and I have certain expectations.
Well, I try, okay? Stay blessed and continue the good work you are doing, Teresa. Thank you.
Thank you.
I just think the bar is that low for men.
Come on.
Like, just for the most part.
And it's the bar is low. The bar is like, do you beat him?
Right.
Nope. All right, that's a good man. You be like, there's a little bit more to shit than that.
Yeah. So that's it for this week, man. Thank you everybody that wrote in.
Yes.
Everybody that emailed in, appreciate y'all. It was a quick feedback show, but y'all get out there and tackle the day. All right, guys, we should be back with more guests this week, and we'll let you guys know who and when and what and why. Okay, so we should see you tomorrow for another episode. So until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.